Hey, this is Tony, and you're listening to episode 27 of the Fanboy Smackdown podcast. As you can tell, I'm flying solo again tonight, but that's okay. This was planned. This is going to be an episode of a couple things that I've been promising in various circles to get out there to everyone, and I'm finally following through on some promises. We've got all of my submissions for Pickle Tales. You're going to hear all of those in this episode, and we've got a book review, and I'll be giving a book review. Let's see. We also have a couple of special announcements. One we will actually make on this episode, and one I think we're going to have to wait until next time. But if you listen carefully, at some point you just might get a hint of what it is. Anyway, I'm sure you guys don't want to hear me talk. Let me get on to some of the cool stuff we've got here going. Yeah, I speak good. The first thing we've got here, this is my initial entry into Pickle Tales. This was the contest that was sponsored by Podcast Pickle. And actually, as I record this, the results are being tallied for the final show. And as you listen to this, probably on Friday, February the 9th, the results show should be going out. So we will know who won Pickle Tales probably by the time you listen to this. Right now it's down to Lawrence Simon and Phil Rossi. And the last time I looked, Phil was in the lead, and if the comments are any indication of how it ended up, it looks like maybe Phil Rossi might have been the winner on this one, but we'll just have to see how that goes. Anyway, for the initial submission, the theme that we were to use was "Tell Me a Story," and during the initial submission period, there were 26 entries. Of those 26, 12 were chosen by the judges to go on and compete in the first round. And our initial entry was also our first round submission. So this was the show that was posted on the first round of Pickle Tales. It's by me, and it's called "Sell Me a Story." This is Tony from the Fanboy Smackdown podcast. This is my submission for Pickle Tales, entitled "Sell Me a Story."
What are you writing there, boy?
This? Oh, it's nothing. Just ending a story I've been working on.
You a writer, then?
Well, I hope to be someday. If this doesn't do it well, I'm going to go back to real work.
Tell me your story.
Well, it's a contemporary fantasy in my world.
That's not what I mean, son. I mean, why are you here? You wearing a ring, you married, I guess.
Yeah, we had our second anniversary in August. You married too?
Nah, I just wear this old thing to keep the bar floozies from flirting me out of drinks.
Yeah, I hear you. So, what do you do?
I'm doing it. You never did answer me, though. Why are you here, especially tonight?
Well, it's kind of a long story.
Son, it's Christmas Eve. I'm half a bottle of scotch until Christmas morn. I've got time for a long story.
Well, I'm a writer. Well, I want to be. My wife, well, she and I made a deal that if I could sign with an agent or get a story sold by the end of the year, then I could keep pursuing my dream of being a career writer. Well, it's only 6 days until the end of the year, so I'm here writing on Christmas Eve. I figure a few beers and a few hours working, it might keep my mind off the fact that I don't even have enough money at the moment to buy my wife a card, let alone a gift for Christmas.
That's not that long of a story, boy.
I guess not. It seemed longer in my head.
They do that sometimes. And as for beer, that crap you're drinking isn't fit for a writer. Bartender, give my young friend here a glass of what I'm having. If you want to write, you're going to drink. At least drink like a writer.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You got stories out then? Talk to agents?
Well, I've got a half a dozen stories out. Haven't been able to check on the status of them, and at the rate things are happening,
well, I'm sure to be working at her dad's towing company by the end of next week. So you're here, drinking and writing, hoping for a Christmas miracle, I suppose, when you could be home with your wife making miracles of your own.
You know, when you put it that way, and hey, the story is done. Excuse me, I think I'm going to make a quick stop before I get out of here. Excuse me, bartender, did you happen to see the man that I was sitting here with?
Harry? Yeah. He left while you was in the can. Crazy old guy paid for the Bodio's tab, too.
And my notebook, did you happen to see?
Blue thing? Yeah. I saw Harry leave with it. Said it was his. Man, I'm sorry. If you need me to, I can try to dig up one of his cards. You can contact him next week.
Nah, it's okay. There wasn't time for me to do anything with that old thing anyway. Eh, maybe if the crazy old guy likes it, it'll give him a bit of comfort this Christmas.
Yeah, maybe. Though with old Harry, you never know.
Well, that's odd. An envelope. Stuffed inside the pocket of my jacket. Don't seem to remember it being there when I took the jacket off. This must be some kind of mistake. There are three $100 bills and a note.
Thanks for the story, kid. That and this one you're working on are going to get you published. If that is what you want, call me on Thursday morning so we can work out the details. Sincerely, Harold Agner, Literary Agent, 555-1212.
Okay, so that was the entry for round one. The way round one worked out was they broke the group of 12 into two heats of six, and in the heat that I was in, I ended up within the top three, which advanced me to the finals, and I was considered a finalist at that point. I was in the top six. We moved on to round two. Now in round two, the theme was sound effects. And we were given three sound effects to play, and the one sound effect was a sound that sounded kind of like a bicycle chain. The other sound effect sounded something like a zipper going up and down, and the last one sounded like something sizzling or burning. And well, you'll be able to see where I went with this one. This is round two, and this one is Dirk Manley in Short Timer.
Welcome back to KSFX News at 10. I'm Dirk Manley. In sports, tragedy struck today at the Tour de France. What was that?
Cut! Dirk, what are you doing? You're off script. Let's try this again. Action.
Welcome back to KSFX News at 10. I'm Dirk Manley. In sports, tragedy struck today at the Tour de France. Corey Nerf Nerferson of Swedmark. Okay, I know I heard something that time.
Cut! It's the effects the networks say we have to start including in the stories because we're getting killed by those new video podcasters and their newscasts. Now get back to it. Action.
Welcome back to KSFX News at 10. I'm Dirk Manley. In sports, tragedy struck the Tour de France as Corey Nerf Nerferson of Swedmark. Corey Nerf Nerferson of Swedmark was killed today in a freak turn of events. He managed to lose his bicycle seat and had become impaled by the frame of his bike in a rut stretch of the course. Footage here shows his body being airlifted.
Oh my! Are you kidding me? A body bag being ripped up?
Dirk, we only have another 10 minutes to get this right before we have to get this ready for broadcast. Now save your commentary until we're done. You can take it up with the network then. Now, take it from the footage here shows. Action.
Footage here shows his body being airlifted from the scene of the accident. Witnesses say that his seat had been gone for some time, but even through the roughest patch of the course, Nerf Nerferson was a trooper and even seemed to be thrilled with how he was running the race.
Cut!
That's great. Now, one more time with the lead story. The effects guy wasn't quite ready the first time.
Alright, sounds good.
Action!
I'm Dirk Manley. Welcome to KSFX News at 10. In an update to a story we brought to you at 6, six people were rescued from a burning apartment building on the corner of Sigler and Hutchins today. Two others, trapped on a higher floor, were not reached in time and perished in the blaze.
Oh, come on! That's just brilliant.
I am not running a story with the sound of people frying in the background.
Unless it sounds authentic.
The effects guy says it's bacon.
I don't give a sh-
care.
If he's frying his own
and
in a skillet, it's just sick and in poor taste, and I'm not doing it.
Without the help of the awesome effects guy.
What the fuck?
Heck.
He's editing me live? How in the
world
is that even possible?
Calm down. It's just a few effects, and it's his job. Let's just finish this story, and we can break for the weekend.
There is no way that I am finishing this story.
Dirk.
No, I am so not staying here for this.
Because after this, I'm gonna hit the big time.
Come on, Dirk.
I'm out of here, you crazy
so-and-sos.
Ah. You all need to get your heads examined.
For not doing this sooner.
Bless.
You
and
bless.
The network. I quit.
Because it doesn't get any better than this.
This concludes the rebroadcast of last night's final on-air appearance of Dirk Manley for WSFX News.
Bless
you, Dirk Manley.
Bless
you.
All right, well, there was round two. Now, I made it through round two. From here on out, every round eliminated one contestant, so I moved on to round two. I'm sorry, round three, just past round two. In round three some of the stories got a little dark in the previous couple of rounds, and the overall idea was that maybe we had gotten a little too dark overall. So during this one, the theme was advertising, and we were given the additional challenge to make it funny. It had to be humorous. So, here's my take on this, and it is called The History of Advertising Podcast, Episode 46.
Hey, this is Ron, and welcome to episode number 46 of The History of Advertising Podcast. This week, we're going to be discussing Shakespeare. Before I get to that, I want to play for you the first ever call we have to the THWAP hotline. We've had our voicemail line for over 8 months now, and we finally got a call. Two, actually. So let's go ahead and play that first one.
Dude, this is John, and hey, man. Had a great show, and man, I really dug that 14-part history of bulk mailing and advertising. Man, this is some good stuff. Keep up the great work, man. Cool. Peace.
All right. Well, John, thanks for that call. And just before I started recording tonight's podcast, we got another call from John. Again, it looks like the call's coming in from the same number. So I haven't listened yet. Let's go ahead and take a listen to that right now.
Man, you guys have the best cast ever. This is so cool. Dude, you got to hear this. It's so funny. I just called this dude and left a message for his podcast. It's like the history of advertising, forky stuff like that. Man, this guy is a complete dweeb. Man, you got to check this out.
Yeah, okay. I guess I should probably screen those calls first. Anyway, let's try and move back on to the show's main topic. And as I said before, we're going to talk about Shakespeare. Well, in recent years, there have been a number of discoveries relating to William Shakespeare. Questions have been raised to his identity and his sexuality and his height. Though I don't myself understand why his allegedly being 6'3" has anything to do with being able to enjoy his works. Anyway, One of the most fascinating discoveries that has been the find of a collection of some special sponsored scripts of some of Shakespeare's most famous tragedies. From notes found with this collection of scripts, we find that Mr. Shakespeare was apparently in debt for making some bad investments into shops specializing in hand-copying books. This discovery shows us that as great a writer as William Shakespeare was, he wasn't much of a businessman, as the printing press had been invented over 100 years before his birth. So these sponsored scripts, though, they allowed him to recover his losses from this endeavor and continue his writing through the rest of his life. And I just have some excerpts from these scripts that I wanted to share with you today. And the first one we have for you this week is from Romeo and Juliet, What's in a Name? That which we call a rose by any other name was smell as sweet as any of the floral selections available at Marion's Nursery. That was from Act 2, Scene 2 of that play. From Act 1, Scene 1 of Macbeth, fair is foul and foul is fair, but the fowl found in McDonald's hatchery is beyond compare. And moving on, the last one we have for you this week is from Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, for they bring with them the ending of Marwyn's clothier's March Madness sale. And that was from Act 1, Scene 2 of that play. Now, these and the rest of the sponsored plays managed to recoup all of Shakespeare's losses, as I said before, and he went on to continue writing throughout the rest of his life. And that just about ends our show for this week. I want to remind everyone that they can call and email, and all of that information will be in the show notes. And be sure you come back next week. We've got another first, a very special interview. We're going to do a holiday interview with Santa Claus to discuss with him what he thinks about the advertising and the imagery used to represent him in advertising throughout the ages. Thanks. See you next week.
Now, since we're speaking of advertising, and before we get on to round four, I'm going to play a little promo here for T. Morris's book, Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword. Now, you've heard about this quite a bit. We even had T on the show. But this is another promo, and I really like what T's done with the first chapter. That's all I've been able to hear so far. And really like what T's done with this, and I wanted to just make sure that if anybody's just coming on to this, they're made aware of it. So take a listen to the promo. If you get a chance, go over and visit tmorris.com/billypodcast, and that's Billy with an I. And if you get the chance, go peek over at the players page, BB Players page. That's where T shows you who all is performing within the story, and you may see somebody you know in there. You may not recognize the face, but you might recognize the voice come chapter 9. Anyway, here you go. Here is the new promo for Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword.
Hey, you listen to this podcast. Yeah, I got to talk to you for a second. I got this friend here. He's doing this podcast. It's a book, a podcast novel. And he's asking me, how do you think I can get the people to listen to this podcast? And I understand his problem. I mean, yeah, so many podcasts out there. It's tough to choose, huh? But you know what I told him? Respect. Respect is the best way to get people to listen. When the people respect you the way I do, it reflects on you and your family. So if the people respect you, then they will listen. That's what I told them. Now, this podcast is Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword, done by a friend of mine named T. Morris, and I respect him. I respect him like family. So I think the best thing for you to do is listen. Because if you don't listen, then, you know, you're being disrespectful. And if you're being disrespectful to his family, you're being disrespectful to my family. We understand each other? All right, that's good. Now, here's a pretty lady to give you all the details.
Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword. Find out more by clicking on the Billabub Battings podcast banner at www.tmorris.com.
Okay, you got all that? Capiche? That's good. Really good. So why are you still here? I mean, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be subscribing now?
Okay, now we're on to the final story that I submitted. Actually, it's not the final story of the competition, but it is the last one that I submitted. Now, over the Christmas break, we had some extra time, but they made it extra challenging for us. In this one, the subject was the Odyssey, the Oral Odyssey. We were to take the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, and adapt as much or as little of it as we could. We had 7 minutes this time, up from the regular 5 minutes, because we had some extra time with the Christmas season. This one was a challenge. I was pretty proud of it, but apparently not everybody else agreed with what I did. So I'm curious to get some feedback from you guys to see what you think of this. And if you're familiar at all with the story of the Odyssey, you may get some of the references. There's even a couple of references sprinkled in there to different Odysseys that not everybody got. So I wonder if anybody around here will pick those out. If you get a chance, send an email in, send a voicemail, drop a note at the comment section of the website, and let us know if you pick up the references and what you think of all of these stories. And this is the story that was round four of Pickle Tales. There were four of us left, and I was the one that fell, bringing it down to the last three. And here you go. This is an Odyssey.
Yule and the three other members of his group walked out of the rain and into Club Siren. They had been traveling most of the night since leaving the game and had only a few hours left to get home if they were going to be ready for Yule and Penny's anniversary party the following day. Rolling brownouts made most of the city dark and severed all lines of communication. The hypnotic beats drew the men into the dark club and deposited them near the center of the stage. As Yule sat down, his three companions pinned him down and bound his wrists in duct tape, attaching him to the chair. Yule was prepared for this and relaxed as his hands then feet were rendered immobile. "You sure about this?" Dave, one of Yule's best friends, asked his captive. "Of course. Sherry said that this is the only way that we're going to get a sit-down with one of the heads of the devils." "It's all right. You guys go play a few rounds of pool. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy the show." Haywood finished checking the bindings. "Dude, you know that Penny's going to kick your ass if she finds out you got a lap dance on the night before her big party." "Look, I'm not going to put you guys in any harm's way. I'm the one who made us take the detour. I'm going to get us out of this. And Penny won't find out about this, right?" Dave, Haywood, and Frank agreed. "I'm going to go sit in the car. You don't need me here, and the last thing we need is to lose our wheels," Dave volunteered. "I'll get a couple of beers and meet you over at the tables." Haywood seemed to sense that Frank was hanging back. As the patrons of the club filled out the seats next to Yule, Frank turned to him. "It's a freaking war zone out there. I can't believe the gangs are going so crazy because the Trojans lost a championship." "The Trojans should have never lost that game." Yule shifted, already uncomfortable in the position he was in. "I can't believe we paid so much for tickets just to see them get beaten by such a simple maneuver, then buried by it." Adding under his breath, "Not that I'm sad to see him go down." "Yule, the devils? Why can't we just go to the cops and let the boys in blue escort us home?" "If we go to the cops now, there's a chance that they'll have found out about our run-in with that one-eyed convenience store clerk.
Even if they don't know about the clerk, they're still liable to have us running around in circles to avoid the gangs, giving them enough time to figure out about the convenience store. Plus, if the devils see anybody riding around with the police, they're going to be taking shots at them. We're caught between the two, and I'm more willing to take my chances with that street gang right now than I am to chance it with the cops. Frank looked at Yule for a long moment. I'm not crazy about just leaving you out here like this. Sherry's your ex, and we all know what a witch she is. If she's pulling your chain, then we could all be goners. I know it sounds crazy, Frank, but if none of us gets too close to the girls, then those guys with their freaked-out sense of honor will think that we respect the girls and, in turn, respect them. If we get too close to the girls, though, it'll be a sign of weakness and disrespect. Then we're sunk. I can't give in to temptation even if I wanted to. This all just gets us one step closer to home. One song ended, and another began as the house lights dimmed and spotlights focused on the curtain stage. As long as you boys follow the instructions and just leave me tied here while you go play a few rounds of pool, everything will be just fine. With that, Frank left Yule tied to the chair, exposed like a sail on the open sea. He would bend and twist with the music and would be tempted by the flesh of the sirens' undulating bodies that sang out in ways that his sweet Penny had never dared attempt. Other patrons around him reached out for the girls, only to have their fantasies dashed by the massive boulders of men who protected the dancers from such attempts. The set ended and the sirens ebbed from the stage. Frank and Haywood quickly came to the aid of Yule just as Eskilla, the representative of the devils, approached. I hear you boys are looking for a way past the beast. Eskilla flashed a hand signal that Yule assumed to be a gang sign for the devils. You obviously got some reason for avoiding that deep blue sea that's flooding my streets. Yule clenched his jaw, sweat beating on his forehead. He nodded. I hope you're willing to pay the price of dealing with these devils. Yule's eyes narrowed ominously. He looked to Haywood and Frank, then back to Eskilla. Name your price. The songs you heard in this recording were Riding in Your Machine and Industrious. Both of these songs are graciously provided by Tones. Information about this artist can be found at tonesmusic.net. Thank you. And that's where my part in Pickle Tales ended. But Pickle Tales went on in the fifth round. Will Ross from Smart Bomb Radio was the next man to fall and did so in rather dramatic fashion. If you go over and listen to the results show from episode 5, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It was quite dramatic. And then finally, We've had the sixth round, the final round, that Phil Rossi and Lawrence Simon are duking it out. These guys have put out some really incredible stories. They absolutely deserve to be the finalist in this. And if nothing else, just the promotional and pseudo-political ads that they've been getting all over the place to drum up their votes have been rather impressive, especially considering they were just working on these stories and now they're already putting together ads promoting the stories. These guys deserve to be where they are, and I just can't wait to see who wins. In this, I want to also thank Christiana Ellis for brainchilding this whole thing and being a great host. I want to thank Clinton from Comedy Forecast, Gary Leland, P. Dilly himself, and Shelley from, I believe Shelley's Cast. I'm probably messing that up. I'm sorry. Anyway, I want to thank those guys. They were the judges. They did a great job and did an excellent job of pointing out all the good and bad in all the stories. And I have to say, every time they called me on something, I agreed with it. They were great judges. Lastly, I want to thank the Kimi, the Activated Storytellers, Will Ross, Phil Rossi, and Lawrence Simon for being the other five finalists. You guys were all great, and it was really a big honor to have my stories standing side by side with yours during the competition. That's where round one of Pickle Tales ends for us here. But hopefully there'll be a round two. I don't know that I'll necessarily be competing in it, but I will definitely be a subscriber and a voter in the next round. Moving on to another thing we've got here. Now this goes back to October when I attended Archon. There's actually one of the shows that I was a panelist on Archon. Is in earlier in the feed. It's the show we did on I did on the panel on Serenity and Firefly. So go back and check that out if you're interested. But while I was at Archon, I got a chance to meet a number of authors and another of just really great people in general. One of them, though, is a local author and a guy by the name of John Clement, and he found out I was into podcasting. We talked about podcasting quite a bit, and he gave me a copy of his book to review. In going back and looking up his websites and everything, come to find out he has podcast the first chapter of his book. The book is called Rush and the Gray Fox. You can find information about the book and the podcast at rushandthegrayfox.com. And he gave me a copy of the book signed, and basically his only stipulation was he wanted me to give him a review. So I have read the book, and now I want to give a review. First off, I want to say that this is the first book review I've done, and definitely the first book review for this podcast. But I enjoyed the story. The story is kind of a superhero fiction that is, I would say, it was probably geared toward young adult. Some of the plot points were a bit cliche, but to someone who's not very familiar with the superhero genre, which I have a large collection of comic books, so some of the things that were done inside the story weren't always the most original, but the presentation and how he approached them was very well done. So I don't want to say that cliche is always a bad thing. Having a common point of reference can be a very good thing, especially in a young adult novel where some younger readers may not have all the same points of reference that those of us with a few years under our belts might have. The one impression I did get with the book was that it did feel like it was adapted from another source. It felt like there were points of description that could have been a little bit clearer. And when I went back and did a little bit of research, I did find out that this was adapted from a comic book. So it could be that might be where some of the shortfalls come in. That maybe the script didn't have the same level of details as prose might have, and therefore didn't all translate. All in all, I'd say it's definitely worth checking out, and especially if you have a young adult reader, it's worth giving a look. Again, you can find John's website for Rush and the Gray Fox at rushandthegrayfox.com. Again, he's a local guy here in St. Louis, And the stories are set in St. Louis and Chicago, so I thought that was especially cool, seeing some of the street names and local landmarks. It was really nice having those points of reference in there as well. Now, the last thing I have for this episode is another announcement of sorts. Now, if you've gone to the website, you probably will have already seen this. But a little while back, Stu from Sofa Dogs, who is a frequent listener and contributor, and he had a voicemail in the last episode. Stu, I don't know what. I guess he was bored one day, or was practicing his design skills, and came up with a really cool logo for us. This is more kind of a banner style logo. We're not going to be changing the square logo that we use for the podcast, but you might start seeing this logo around in a few places just because we think it's really cool. We wanted the original logo to stay out there for a while and let people get used to seeing that one before we sprung this one. We didn't want to confuse anybody with a couple of different logos, but we really, really enjoyed this logo, and we wanted to put it out there. So if you get a chance, go to the website, check out the image that's associated with the listing for this particular podcast, episode 27, and you will see Stu's banner that he did for Fanboy Smackdown. Thank you very much, Stu. It's very cool. And if you guys get a chance, let Stu know what you think. Like I said, we're just thrilled with it. We think it's a great one. And with that, I think we're just about wrapped up. Now, this show is going out a day late. And next week, we have a show already lined up and ready for you guys. And we're going to, if everything goes well, we will be releasing that one actually a day early, because it's a Valentine's Day show. Now, if you think you know what we're going to do for a Valentine's Day show, you might want to think again. We have something that we think you might enjoy, and definitely give us a listen. Hopefully that one will drop right on Valentine's Day. So that one might be a day earlier than you expect, and this one going out a day later. We'll be talking to you again in a couple of days. So, thanks for listening. If you want to give us some feedback, the number is 206-339-FBSD. That's 206-339-3273. You can send an email to fanboysmackdown@gmail.com. You can comment on the comment section. And or you can always send a Skype to Fanboy Smackdown. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bookie, bookie, bookie.